Scripture reading is Luke chapter 5, 12 through 16. While Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along who was covered with leprosy. When he saw Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground and begged him, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him. Then Jesus ordered him, "Don't tell anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them." Yet the news about him spread all the more, so that crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Let us pray. O Lord, who reaches out and touches, through your word, touch us here today. We pray that we'll come to you now, eager to hear, wanting the power of your voice in our lives to make us who you want us to be, to make us new in Christ. We just pray now in his name. Amen. At the end of last Sunday's sermon, I stressed how our outward action of working for justice in the world needs to be grounded in our inward action of deep communion with Christ and relationship with God, how what we do outwardly needs to flow out of who we are inwardly in our relationship with Christ. And that's because the gospel doesn't just address social conditions, it also addresses the human condition, the heart condition of each of us too. So if we want to live lives devoted really for the long haul to working for justice and peace in the world, we need to cultivate intimacy with Jesus and fellowship with Jesus, who's really the source of who we are in the world and the source of what we're doing in the world as well. So again, who we are outwardly in our action of justice and making a peace in the world needs to be connected to who we are inwardly, a vibrant inner life, a relationship with Jesus to enable us to do what we're doing in the world. I think that Jesus himself practiced this in his own ministry through regular periods of prayerful engagement with God. At the end of today's scripture passage, Luke tells us, Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Often, says Luke. In other words, this wasn't just one unique situation where the demands and intensity of Jesus' ministry were so great that he decided he needed to step back from the crowd some to be alone with God. Instead, we're told by Luke that this was a pattern of repeated behavior for our Lord, part of the rhythm of his life, part of the rhythm of his ministry. Jesus regularly turned away from the outward and visible work of doing kingdom good so that he could turn even more fully to the source of his doing of kingdom good in the world, his relationship with God. There's a man named Jed Medfind who leads a ministry for Christian orphans, and he recently in an article wrote saying, "Over many years of work in both government and ministry, I've noticed a common storyline among the justice-minded, including myself. First," he says, "comes the waking. We begin to ache over the wrong we see and we yearn to set it right. So there's the waking. Waking, he says, springs into working. A noble undertaking with encouraging initial progress. So the waking gets turned into working to deal with whatever that issue is. But eventually, he says, disappointment strikes and we weary as the world's brokenness proves far more stubborn than we'd imagined. So waking moves into working, which moves on further into wearying. Finally, he says, one day we find our idealism has withered to a lifeless husk. And he goes on to cite multiple examples of this pattern, he says, of waking, working, wearying, and then withering in ministry. So that's when he pauses to raise the question, what sustains us when the rain stops? It's a good question. What sustains us when the rain stops? Here's the simple and age-old truth, he says. If we have no source beneath the surface, we will eventually run dry. The work of justice and mercy cannot be sustained apart from a vibrant inner life. A vibrant inner life. Now, to be sure, Jesus had a lot more going in his public ministry than just a vibrant inner life. He was able to keep doing what he did, partly because he stuck to his daily devotions with God. That's no doubt part of it. But there's more to it, really, than that. Jesus, as we know, was divine. He was the embodiment of Israel's God, whose promised reign had broken into the world through Jesus and through Jesus' preaching and his teaching and his saving and his healing and his reconciling and restoring and exorcising demons. And it's no wonder, as Luke tells us, that people responded to the word of Jesus and the concrete ministry of Jesus in droves. In fact, one of them's here in our scripture passage today. First, Luke opens up with a general statement. While Jesus was in one of the towns, that's sort of another way of saying what you are about to hear was typical of a day in the life of Jesus. Or this was the kind of thing that you could normally expect in Jesus' ministry. And then he goes on to tell us about the healing of a man with leprosy, followed by this summary statement of how Jesus' popularity was growing in Galilee. In fact, Jesus himself tried to deal with it by encouraging the man in our story today and lots of others, you know, dial it down on the publicity. Not now. But still, Luke says, his reputation spread. Crowds keep coming. So in the midst of all Jesus working, we can assume that there's also plenty of wearying. Wearying. One option, I guess, then, is for Jesus to step it up. Take it on to the next level. But instead of stepping it up, Luke says he stepped back. He stepped away. He stepped out. He withdraws to the wilderness, says Luke, and prays. Now, I'm guessing that this wasn't just sort of a quick consultation with God, sort of a brief ministerial timeout before re-entering the fray of the kingdom of God and its mission. Unlike us, Jesus, it seems, wasn't always obsessed with time. In fact, one of the, widely used dictionaries has pointed out that the most frequently used noun in the English language is time. Time. And I think our focus on time is reflected, for instance, in lots of book titles, some of them that come from Christian publishers as well, like 60 Seconds with God. 60 Seconds. Or Daily Prayers, 60 Seconds Long. Or Instant Sermons for Busy Pastors. Those are probably not the kinds of titles that Jesus pulled out of his backpack when he got to wherever that lonely, isolated wilderness place was we hear about in our scripture passage today. When these moments came for Jesus to withdraw from the intensity of his ministry, I think he was less concerned with time and religious efficiency and more concerned about getting in there in deep struggle with God and engagement with God and strong communion and fellowship with God that would enable him to keep on doing what he was doing. Jesus knew that prayer isn't really just sort of a ministerial accessory that you tack on once everything else has been done, something that you can take care of later. I like the story that's told about a pastor who was in his office one morning and a prominent member of the congregation called, and the secretary answered the phone and said, "Well, the pastor's busy right now. He's in his office praying." And the church member said, "Praying? Shouldn't he be working?" For followers of Jesus, like you, like myself, praying is part of our working for the kingdom of God and its purposes. What's more, deep, diligent, and enduring work for the kingdom really is impossible without prayerfulness in all of its forms. There's a Christian human rights group called International Justice Mission. They have offices here in Washington, D.C. and other locations. They focus a lot on issues such as human trafficking or other forms of violence against the poor. And what's interesting in part about their work is that every day, every employee has to start out the day with 30 minutes of silence, time for reflection, prayer, attentiveness to the Word of God. The staff gathers for 30 minutes of corporate prayer together every day, in addition to retreats that are required of employees off-site at different points of the year. And I like the way that their director puts it when he speaks about prayerless striving. He said there can be such a thing as just prayerless striving, which leads eventually to exhaustion. And this is the way he put it: "I have learned just how crucial it is to settle my soul in the presence of Jesus every morning. I've learned just how crucial it is to settle my soul in the presence of Jesus every morning." I believe that settling his soul in the presence of God was part of the daily rhythm of Jesus' own ministry. One of the primary reasons Jesus was able to bring this saving and healing and restoring power of God into the life of the people, especially the life of this man with leprosy, was because Jesus had been spending time with the Father in deep communion and intimate kind of fellowship, regularly and repeatedly doing that kind of thing that we see at the end of today's text. Jesus knew that being with lost and suffering people as fully as he needed to be and doing what he needed to do was impossible without also being with God. Now, being with the people and doing what he was doing in his ministry was part of the way of being with God, but so was his, as Luke tells us, withdrawal, retreating, praying, being with God in that even more alone kind of setting. So Jesus sort of practiced, I think, this pattern of exit and entry. He would sort of exit from the crowds, enter into the presence of God, and then eventually re-enter into the presence of the people with renewed life-giving power that he experienced by being in the presence of God, so that he could come among the people again with sort of renewed passion and caring touch. What does Luke say in our scripture passage here today? Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. That's not what most people did when they came near a person with leprosy. Leprosy was a term that included a broad range of skin diseases. You heard some of it touched upon in our scripture passage there earlier from Leviticus. And folks usually, because of it, kept their distance from others, partly out of fear, partly out of religious duty as well. It was more, as it turns out, than just a physical illness. Leprosy was a form of defilement in the eyes of many that kept folks excluded, cut off from humanity. So it wasn't just a physical disease. It was a social kind of stigma as well that people experienced. If you were a leprous person, you wore clothes that were torn, and you wore your hair disheveled. You lived alone or with other lepers. If you approached or got near someone, you covered your lip and said, "Unclean, unclean," so that others could keep their distance from you as well. The life of a leper, really, when you look at it deeply, the life of a leper was a life of untouchable isolation. Untouchable isolation. But we're told in our scripture passage today, Jesus reached, Jesus touched, Jesus overcame the man's isolation. He entered into the isolation. And I think one of the reasons Jesus was able to enter into this man's isolation, one of the reasons he was able to overcome this man's aloneness, because Jesus knew how to be alone with God and be in isolation, in a sense, with God and experiencing God's renewing grace and power in his life. In other words, it was Jesus' connectedness to God that he sustained through his own prayerfulness that enabled him to reconnect this man to others, to God, to society, through his own saving, healing power. Because Jesus spent time in solitude, he was able to help ensure that this man would not remain solitary, but reconnected with God and with others. There's a man named Zach Esquine, and he tells about a time in his life when he was experiencing a really intense period of busyness, overcommitment, those kinds of things going on in his life, and people around him tried to get his attention, but he refused really to listen to them until he got a letter, he says, that changed his perspective. And he talks about it this way. He says, "An older mentor named Bill told me, 'Zach, your life is a five-alarm fire. You are coming and going in so many different directions. I worry about you.' One of my bosses," he said, "echoed the same sentiment 10 years later. 'You're doing so many different things,' she said. 'We're afraid you're going to burn out. We want you around here for a long time. So pace yourself, okay?'" Her voice was soon joined by others. Two colleagues invited me to lunch. Another called on the phone. "We're worried about you," they said. Then, he says, "I received a letter. It was an old-fashioned letter, you know, one of those kind that actually is in an envelope. Handwritten, has a stamp on it, gets mailed to you. I opened it," he said, "and heard my mom's voice as I read. She too must have heard the alarm. She wrote, 'Son, a tree has to have roots to provide shade.'" A tree has to have roots to provide shade. I think the shade provided by Jesus' ministry to so many for the kingdom had roots in his prayerful, regular, rhythmic engagement with God and fellowship with God at a deep and intimate level. And Jesus' ongoing kingdom ministry, which we're called to be part of, I think requires the same deep roots of you and the same deep roots of me. The good news is that Jesus is still busy, just like we see in this scripture passage today. Jesus is still busy, busy preaching, busy teaching, busy saving, busy healing, busy reconciling, busy restoring, busy praying still. Busy praying, busy being in communion with the Father. And if we want to be part of and involved in Jesus' busyness in all of its forms, then we need to be involved in the busyness of his praying and his prayerfulness too. That's a crucial part of it. In one sense, Jesus wasn't any less busy when he was out there in the wilderness alone with God in deep communion and engagement with God. He wasn't really any less busy when he was out there in the wilderness alone than he was when he was there among the crowds who were coming to him day after day, wanting to hear his word, wanting to feel his touch. He wasn't any less busy than when he was out there in the streets in ministry, you know, on his cell phone, checking his email, leading home Bible studies, conducting healing services, making home visits, all those kinds of things, those forms of busyness. He was just as busy, in a sense, when he was alone with God, because for Jesus, tending to his own heart and having the Spirit breathe new life into him was something that kept him busy. I don't think it was busyness so much to the point of exhaustion, but prayerful busyness to the point of infusion. Not exhaustion, but infusion, where God breathed new life into him, the very life and power of God filling him for his ministry. I noticed that our fellow disciples at Lutheran Church of Our Savior next door have an interesting message on their church sign right now. God doesn't take summer breaks. Come and meet him. That's interesting to reflect on, I think, as we get ready for me to step out of the picture and begin my sabbatical period a week from tomorrow, with just one more Sunday before we begin to take this step in our journey together. It's important for us to remember that in my absence, just as much as during my presence, our focus will continue to be on proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God, promoting the gospel, and being involved in and part of Jesus' ongoing ministry here in our world and here in our community where we are. I'll have more to say about that really next Sunday as we make that transition into the sabbatical. But for now, that church sign message again. God doesn't take summer breaks. Come and meet him. I think it's embodied by your presence here today. You're here today to meet God. You're here today in worship to meet God. You've come here to meet God. You've come here to pray. You've come here to sink your roots more deeply into Christ and into the kind of nourishment that he provides for us. Sort of like our Lord himself. You've come here today as a way of stepping back, stepping out, stepping away from the busyness and the outward work of the kingdom of God, stepping away from the crowds in a sense, in order to tend to your inner life as well, to cultivate a vibrant inner life united with Christ and in deep fellowship and communion with God, that kind of vibrant inner life, in a sense to reconnect with God, to reconnect with one another, and to get renewed again and tied once again to the true source of your power and where that comes from, to do what you're doing in the busy work of God's kingdom in the world, to sink deeper roots into Christ again. And I think that this deep connection to Christ, when you get reconnected to the true source of your power, that deep connection to Christ, that's what will sustain you and strengthen you and empower you and enable you to keep at the busy outward work of God's kingdom in the world. Let's pray. O God, whose kingdom has come among us through Jesus Christ, thank you that we can be part of his ongoing ministry and mission in the world. We're grateful for the outward part of that, where we're at work daily for the sake of your reign. We thank you for the inward part of that that needs to be cultivated too. We're grateful for all that you've been doing in us and through us this week for the purposes of your kingdom in the world where we've been, at work, at play, at home, and in all the other places our lives have taken us. Thank you for how you've been busy in our lives for your kingdom's sake. And now we're grateful, God, for this time today where we could come and meet you again, withdrawing from the crowds to settle ourselves into your presence, be here with you, to be strengthened, to be renewed, to be refreshed, and have your Spirit breathe on us and breathe into us your very life-giving power. Show us now as we go from this place and re-enter the busy work of your kingdom, how to take the renewal we've gotten here today and use it so that lives are touched, so that reconciliation and healing are brought about through Jesus Christ in the lives of others and in your world. We pray this in his name.